Good morning. First off, I want to say thank the Lord for His Word. It's awesome to look at and see the Lord's character and how far I fall from it. And I want to go to 1 Samuel 30. I'm not going to read through all of it because it's pretty much over the course of four chapters that the Lord has shown me this stuff. The children and I are going over the character of David. And the Lord has shown me this time through more of why He calls David a man after His own heart. And it's just amazing. Where I want to start, it's actually in 29, sorry. The Philistines are going to go up against Israel. And David says, I want to go to battle with you. And he follows behind him. And then the lords of the Philistines said, no, we don't want you to go to battle because he might go against us and pair up with Israel and whip our butts, basically. So they sent him away. And while David was going to go up with the Philistines, the Amalekites came and took his wives and the whole town's wives and children and all their stuff. So David comes back with his men and his wives and children are gone. And they weep. And instead of just reacting, David sought the Lord in what to do. David went to the priest and said, went to the Lord and asked, what do I do? And the Lord said, seek after him and you will recover all. And David did just that. The men got tired and weak, and so they stayed by the stuff. And 400 pursued after the Amalekites to get all their stuff back and their wives and children. So they went and they got it all. And they come back, and the 400 men said, just give the 200 that stayed by the brook, give them their women and children, and send them on their way. Let them depart. And David said, no. They're going to receive the same reward that you guys have. They're going to receive of the spoil that we've recovered. And what great mercy that is for David to do that. All the men were just giving their wives and their children and send them on their way. David said, no. That's one place was, I've read through this several times and I've never seen it. And that is just awesome. The living word. It is the living word. Every time I read through it, if you're reading it for the right reasons, the Lord shows you something new. And, not only that, it shows also how merciful the Lord was, because while the Philistines went up to war with the Israelites, Saul and Jonathan were killed. And I couldn't imagine how difficult it would be, as much as David loved Saul and Jonathan, to go into war to battle with them. And even straight up against those and have to fight or to watch him be killed, I imagine that would be pretty tough. So how merciful it was to send David away while that happened. And I read the word and I see things in myself. I'm steady passing judgment on people, thinking I'm better or worse than somebody else. And the Lord is merciful and graceful enough to show me, you're no better. You're no better than anybody else. Compare yourself to my word, not anybody else. That's all.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, David. I like David. It's nice to read those stories, you know. It gives you, as a man, it gives you a great example of how I need to be to move forward as a man of God. I mean, for God to say that David, his heart was after his own heart, wow. That's the heart I want. Is that the heart you want? It is? Amen, Paul. I mean, if that's what you want, it is there for you. All you got to do is believe that the Lord can create in you that clean heart. That He can renew that right spirit within you. I want to turn over to James chapter 3. I'm going to read thought I was going to read part of it. I think I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's not very long. Should only take me 2-3 hours. You know?
Let's go.
All right. James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now we live in a country that loves dirty laundry and gossip. I mean, it's all around us, right? I mean, that's what people watch on TV as entertainment, isn't it? I mean, what's that say about your heart? I mean, one of the things that we were talking about yesterday when we were over at Angie and Edmund's place was, you know, things that we allow our children to see. And the ratings, you know, PG, PG-13, TVMA, you know, what is this stuff? And some of the stuff was, you know, I wouldn't let my children watch that. And I was thinking about it. Some of this stuff, we shouldn't be watching. It's not good for you. It doesn't get you closer to the Lord. It doesn't exalt any good thing at all. In fact, it exalts all bad things. Now, am I saying not to watch TV and all? No, I ain't saying that. I'm just saying, perceive what it is that you're putting into yourself through your eyes, through your ears, and don't be surprised in what comes out. Right? If you're putting in the pure word of God and you're seeking Him, you're going to see a change. Now, human life is excited by the tongue. Right? Everything that you hear some gossip, you know, your flesh gets excited. You know, you speak some things that are harsh and anger rises up inside you and it excites you. I mean, all of these things are of the earth. These things are of the devil. I mean, unless your tongue's kept in check, evil surmisings, misrepresentations, falsehoods, jealousies, envyings, malice, all of these things will be spoken by the tongue. It's from the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaketh. These things are coming out of your mouth. These things are overflowing in your heart. Looks like you got a problem. Sounds like something needs to be fixed. Now you can ask the Lord to create in you that clean heart, like David did. Right? You can accept the corrections that you receive from those around you, from your ministers, from your disciples, from the Lord Himself. And you can start putting off this. And you can let that work happen in your heart so that it be cleansed and renewed. I'm kind of a history buff for those of you guys who don't know. But I was reading, it was a thing on Robert E. Lee. It was just a short thing. It wasn't anything big. It was about his character, right? General Robert E. Lee, he was asked what he thought of a fellow officer in the Confederate Army. This particular officer had been saying some pretty nasty things about, you know, the general. And somebody asked him what he thought of that guy. And Lee thought for a moment. And then he rated him as being very satisfactory. Then the guy asking the questions confused. He said, whoa, wait a minute. You must not know what he's been saying about you. I mean, this must be, I mean, you just don't get it, huh? And what Lee says is, no, I know. I know what he says. But the question was, what do I think of him? Not what does he think of me. Now, controlling the tongue is difficult. It's a hard thing. Why is it hard? It's what I've been saying, because in order to control your tongue, you need to get your heart right. You got to go to the root you want to put out this problem. Now you need to commit fully to Jesus and lay down all the rest. I'm telling you, He can create in you a clean heart. Choose to fix your heart. Choose to accept that creation. Believe that He's able. Obey and walk in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. Brad, I have a question. This morning when you said that earlier than we show up, it's usually more early that we showed up today than other days, or something along those lines. Yeah, who are you pertaining to on that front? Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's the thing where, you know, I caught that. That kind of just came to my attention. And, you know, I didn't know if you were speaking of Paul and I or those things, but, you know, my question would come to you is, what's it to you? What's it to you? You know, we see many times where we could have been dealing with some things that we had to deal with before we came over. And it really doesn't matter one way or other. We're here to praise the Lord, learn about the Lord, and that's one of the things that doesn't need to be on your radar or your concern. But, you know, I was thinking this morning about some of the things that we have been learning. Some of the things we have been talking about. And one of the things is becoming of the same mind as a body. And you know, in the same sense in James, if you go down to James chapter 4, and we go to, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You know, if we are going to become the body of Christ, the body of Christ, what did Christ do? He wanted to do, all he did was the will of the Father. That's what he did, and he did that perfectly. And he was in constant communication with the Father. He had one mind, one goal, and that was to do the Father's will. And as we come together, do we come with that same mind? Or do we have division among us? Do we have our own agenda? Do we have our own way of thinking? See, if we're going to move forward in Christ and we're going to see that Christ moves, we're going to come together in His mind, not our own. We're not going to be about our own agenda. We're going to be about His. See, I don't know about you guys, but I want to be the generation that takes on the promised land. And see that taking on the promised land, every single one of them had the same mind. They were perfectly obedient unto the commandment that was given to them from the Lord, and those walls came tumbling down. But what I see amongst this body down here is I see a division. I see a people having their own way, their own thinking, their own agenda. And you see it because when things are brought to a place of accountability of where people are at, they still cleave to their own way, their own mind, their own way of thinking. That's where this body's at. But it's time to put off that. Put off that old man, because that's what that is. Because if it was the new man, it would line up with the Father's will. If it was the new man, we would all have the same mind. There would be no division. We would be about the business of the Lord. But when things are brought up that are not in that way, you see people say, refuse it and turn and walk away from it. But the time is at hand to choose what side you want to follow after. I mean, we say Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. But then we turn around and go and do about our own thing. As you read down, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have. You cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. Look, you're about your own thing. You're about consuming that for your own lust. not getting the things from the Lord that you may go forward in what He would have you do, but what rather to do your own thing. And you don't receive that because you're about doing your own thing, and that would do nothing but harm you. I remember there was a time where Davey was talking about a man, I think he had his captain's license or something or another, and he got injured. He got injured and he couldn't be a captain of a boat anymore. And the guy asked Davey to pray for him to heal. And I don't know, something the response was, I believe the Lord told Davey to not to. And or he asked the guy, he goes, well, why do you want to be healed? So I can go and be a captain of a ship again? And he goes, there you are to consume that upon your own lust. Lord's not going to heal you because He wants you doing His thing, not your own. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the whole world, a friend of the world is enemy of God. You adulterers and adulteresses. See, this isn't not talking about going around and sleeping around on your wife or your husband here. No, it's when you take on the Lord's name. When you call Him Lord. And then yet you go do your own thing. Not His. That's what that's saying there. I want you to ask yourself, are you in that boat? Are you in that position? Is that what you're doing? But Paul exhorts us to be in a different place, a better place. See, all that is for your own destruction. All that is for you to be in the bondage. All that is for that Satan, you to go down in hell with Satan. That old man wants to drag you down to hell. It's cursed. It's enemy of God. It wants nothing to do with Him. And it's going to die and it wants to take your soul with it. But we have that choice. We have that freedom in Christ where we are not subject to that anymore because of what He has done. And let's go to Corinthians. Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1, yeah. I believe that's the one. And let's go to verse 10. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. In the same mind and in the same judgment. That's interesting. Because as we come into fellowship, do we have that same mind and that same judgment? When those that are over you give you the word of the Lord and it lines up with the Scripture, do you agree with that? Do you agree with that? Or do you say, that's nonsense, that just doesn't seem right, and walk away about your own way? I want also, let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. And it says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, that's what we're called to be. And that part where it says, and gave some apostles and some prophets and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, that's your line of authority. That is church government. And you guys are all called to be partakers of one of these offices. That's a praise the Lord. You guys are all called to be a part of the body of Christ. Not pew warmers. Not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And we're all to be partaking of doing what Jesus did and walked as he walked, as one. As one, all of us coming together. But if we're not in the same mind and in the same judgment, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen to those who do not choose to make Jesus Christ as their Lord. It's not going to happen to those who choose to walk in their own way, in their own agenda. It's there for you. You can partake of it. The hand is outstretched for you to get on board with. But it's you that makes the choice whether you want to do that or not. Nobody else. Nobody can make that choice for you. That's your personal choice. It doesn't have to be this long, drawn out process for you to get there. Just make the choice. Get on board. I mean, do you think that the counsel that is given from others that are above us, down the line of authority, down that chain of command, is for our hurt? No, it's for our good. It's for our freedom. What gets hurt is pride. What gets hurt is your flesh. Those things that want to kill you. But rather that's uncomfortable to your flesh, it hurts your pride, it offends your pride. So you don't take heed to it, yet you ignore that life that the Lord is trying to extend out to you. That's not the place we ought to be anymore. The scripture said, in Him is light, and there's what? No darkness at all. Are we going to choose to believe that or not? That's what it comes down to. Are we going to actually trust the Lord and go forward and believe like Abraham did and actually going and doing it? Or are we just going to sit back and be a hearer and never step out in faith? And reject that counsel that is given unto us. Because if the second, you're standing in the second, you're not going to grow. You're not going to move forward. But you don't have to stay that way. And if you've been that way, you can change your mind now. You can go before the Lord and repent and turn around. And partake of His life and His freedom and His loving kindness and mercy and grace that He's extended unto us. The choice is up to you. Make a choice. And I hope y'all make the right one. Because He can do abundantly, we can ask or think. abundantly above we can ask or think. And He's shown us that, and shown us that, and shown us that over and over and over again. Why not go forward in it? Humble yourselves. Get right with the Lord. Get on your knees like David did and say, God created me a clean heart. And step out in faith and watch Him move, man. Let's be about His business, amen? Because any other business really just sucks. His is awesome.
Well, there's a press. And the body of Christ is either going to move forward in Christ, or it's going to stand still in unbelief. And in that press, we are going to be doing what we should have been doing more of here. And that's dealing with people's speech. As I think of a couple of images I have in my head of Homer Simpson, where it's like Earth the stupid guy. In this case, you know, this Lord is a, hey, stupid, hey. But he has these conversations in his head, was like, you know, you got in trouble quite a while ago. Your mouth is still moving. It's still, words are still coming out. And the trouble point peaked about 3 or 4 minutes ago. You might want to stop talking now. There's the tongue is a fire. One of the reasons why it's a fire is you might can hide your unbelief from yourself, but you can't hide it from your speech. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you might not recognize it, but everybody else does. Everybody else who has the Spirit of God does. And this is something we should have dealt with a long time ago. The fact of the matter is we tolerate this stuff in people because what you just... You're making a judgment on whether it's trying to be funny, just trying to be cute. It's unacceptable. Because the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what's funny and what's cute, if it's based and rooted unbelief, is no longer tolerable. It's not tolerable. Not if you're going to stay in the body. Not if you fancy yourself to be a part of the body. You're at a higher standard than those people out there not a part of the body because you fancy yourself to be the Lord's. You fancy yourself to be about the Lord's business. But your mouth keeps moving. And it says some really stupid things that kind of disassociate you from the body. This is a problem. I have had that experience. I've been having that conversation in my head with my mouth. Why is your mouth still running? You passed the point of idiot several minutes ago. And it is still pegged on the idiot scale and your mouth is still speaking. It's a trap. The worst thing about the tongue being a fire is it exposes your heart. It exposes your unbelief. And when we see it, we're going to speak to it. Because not speaking to it, and it's, that's just so-so, being so-so, making an excuse for it is hate. It's hating that person. And we will not do that. We will not be guilty of that. We will call it when we hear it. We especially won't hear it from a minister. We won't put up with it. We're going to be held to account when we reveal the unbelief that's in our heart. Because you're supposed to be choosing to put that off and operate in belief. It's a choice. Even though it doesn't seem like it is, because it keeps blowing right out of that, blowing right out of the mouth, but there seems to be a disconnect to the head, straight from the heart. She's shutting up now would be a really good thing. And it doesn't happen. But we're going to love inside the body like we're supposed to love. And we're going to provoke one another to love and good works. Or, I suppose, the other potential outcome is you won't be able to stand it anymore and you leave. What's it to me? I have to do what the Word tells me to do. I have to do what my authorities tell me to do. I have to do what Jesus Christ has called me to do. If I don't, then what am I to Him? I'm not what I say I am. We cannot keep holding each other to lower standards and committing their souls to hell. That's what that is doing. That is hating them. We will not do that. Matthew. Matthew 12:34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. True words were never spoken. Sometimes you have to sit there and actually look at the thing. I keep referring to it day after day after day, but you need to actually look. The verse is there. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Where is it in Hebrews where it calls it evil heart of unbelief? You have to choose to put off that evil. And choose to receive the living word of Jesus Christ. You got to put some good things in there before the good things will come out. You can't retrieve an empty bag. Nothing in it. You got to put some in there first. You need to seek His word, seek His face. Seek the testimony of those in authority over you. You need to fill up that bag of belief. And choose to operate in that. If there's nothing but evil in here, you're only going to get evil out. And even when you think you can cover it up, you can't. You might can hide it from yourself, but you can't hide it from those around you who are in the body, who seek and speak and do the Spirit, do the Word. unbelief comes. It's a red flashing sign over you when you speak it. Neon. Say what? Absolutely. And that relationship is going to bring it back to you eventually anyway. That's why you have people in authority. Yeah, better now. Better now than too late. I'm done.